Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. It's a sad thing to see the fall of a man, especially a man who had so much potential. We have been looking at this over several programs as we've studied the life of King Saul in the book of 1 Samuel. In our study today, we will see that Saul has simply lost it. How did this happen? What went wrong? How did he fall so far? Those are the questions that John will be answering for us as we look at a story in 1 Samuel chapter 20. And the answer has great personal application for each one of us. With our study, here now is Pastor John.
1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 24. So David hid himself in the field. And when the new moon was come, the king sat him down to eat meat. The king sat upon his seat, as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan, the king's son, arose. And Abner, the king's general, sat by King Saul's side, but David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought, "Something hath befallen David. He is not clean. He's impure ceremonially." But it came to pass, verse 27, on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that again David's place was empty at the king's table. And Saul said unto his son Jonathan, "Wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse, David, to meat, neither yesterday nor today?" And Jonathan answered Saul, his father, "David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. He said, 'Let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city. And my brother, well, he hath commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in thine eyes, Jonathan, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren.' Therefore, he cometh not to the king's table." Well, verse 30, when Saul heard that, Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And he said to Jonathan, "Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of David? Or son of Jesse, pardon me, David, to thine own confusion and to the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse, David, lives upon the ground, you shall not be established, nor your kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die." Jonathan answered Saul and said, "Why? Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done?" And Saul cast a javelin at Jonathan to smite him. Amazing. In our text, we see King Saul blowing it royally. King Saul coming apart totally. He throws a javelin, a spear, at his son, Jonathan. Saul has come unglued. Saul has come undone. It's crazy. It's bizarrety. It's insanity. Throwing this spear at his own son. Why was Saul so murderously angry? What's his problem? Well, Saul, as you know, was envious of David. He was rather intimidated by David. He was worried that David was going to take the throne. After all, the women were singing songs about David, and the men were in awe of David. And now in our story, in this section, Saul realizes that Jonathan, his son, is in cahoots with David, is covering for David, is befriending David. "What are you doing?" Saul says. "Don't you know, Jonathan, that as long as David is around, you'll not ascend to the throne? You'll never take over. You'll never be in control. And I want you to ascend to the throne when my reign is through." And with that, he throws a spear to kill his boy. It's crazy. "I want you to be on the throne. I want you to be the next king." Wham! As he throws this spear in Jonathan's direction. It's insanity. If I was a psychiatrist, and I'm not, I would call this episode an illustration of what I would call Saul's syndrome. But it wouldn't be S-Y-N-drome, but rather S-I-N-drome. Saul is showing the repercussions, the bizarrity, the craziness and insanity of what sin will do. You get confused. And you feel as though you have a right to make your point. You're on target as you lash out at the very people that are closest to you. The very people that you truly care for. The very people that you are concerned about. Yet in this bizarrity of Saul's syndrome, you don't think clearly. And you begin to say, "Hey, I'm right to target you. I've got a point to make." And we lash out and hurt people brutally. Hurt people cruelly. Hurt people needlessly. Here, Saul is striking out at his own son. He attempted to kill Jonathan. This syndrome can afflict you. And this syndrome can afflict me. You lash out. You throw a spear. You make a point. You feel that you're on target when you treat another brutally. Somebody you care about. Happened to me. Peter John, my son, he was 3. My daughter, Jessie Lee, who's now in heaven, was 1.5. My first wife, Terry, who's also in heaven, she was going to the doctor's that day, so I offered to stay and watch the 2 kids. So she went off, and I was there. It was a winter day. It was kind of slushy, icy, rainy, snowy outside, and the temperatures were real low. I went in Peter John's room, and we were talking and playing a bit, and I noticed that, hey, his Tonka trucks that I had promised him and promised Terry, too, that I would build a shelf for, they were still there sitting on the floor. No shelf was yet up, so I thought, okay, this is the time. I'm home anyway. I'm going to get this shelf put up for Peter John's Tonka trucks. So I went out to the garage, discovered, though, that I didn't have a board. I didn't have the right kind of shelving material. So I took Peter John and Jessie Lee, and I put on their hats and their coats, their gloves, their scarves, their galoshes. Peter was 3, Jesse was 1.5 approximately. Put him in the back seat of my orange Honda Civic station wagon and made my way from my house to Highway Lumber to buy a shelf, to buy a board. I purchased it, put the kids back in the car, drove back home again, took them out of the car, took off their hats and their coats, their scarves, their galoshes too. And then I went out to the workshop in my garage to get some maple stain to stain the board. I opened up the can. It was dry. So I said, "My Pete, Jesse," called them and put their hats on, put their coats on, their scarves, their galoshes, their gloves too, got them all bundled up, put them back in the seat of the orange Honda Civic, and made my way down Jacksonville Highway to the lumber store once more. Bought the stain. Came back. Took off their hats and coats, scarves and galoshes and mittens and all the rest. And I went out and then began to stain the shelf, to put the shelf up on Peter's wall to hold his Tonka trucks. Well, got it stained, ready to go, went to grab the brackets. I needed two of them. I only had one in my garage. True story. Peter, John, Jesse, come on. Got on their hats and coats and scarves, galoshes, the whole deal once more, put them in the back seat of the car, drove to Highway Lumber again to get another bracket. Got the bracket, drove back home, took off their hats, galoshes, scarves, and all the rest. And now I thought, at last I can get this done. The board is stained, the brackets are here. I got the screws, and I drove those screws through the holes in the brackets into the wall. But you see, what I know about construction, you could put into a thimble, actually. And I soon discovered that although I drove the screws into the wall, the problem was, well, the screws wouldn't hold. They needed those little plastic anchor dealy bobbers, and I had none of those. So once more, Pete, Jesse, let's go. Put on their hats, coats, gloves, scarves, boots, the whole nine yards, and out to the car, down the road, to Highway Lumber once again to get the anchor dealy bobbers. Came back. It's now 3.5 hours later. A project that should have taken about 10 or 12 minutes. 3.5 hours have gone by, but at last I put the anchors in, screw the bolts through the holes on the brackets that holds up the board. A job well done. And I placed the Tonka trucks there on the shelf. At that point, I am needing a well-deserved cup of hot chamomile tea. So I go out to the kitchen. I put on the teapot on the oven, and it begins to steam away. And hey, I grab the bag of chamomile tea from the box and put it in the cup and pour it and sit down ready to relax. The kids, Peter and Jesse, they're in Pete's room playing when suddenly I heard this excruciatingly loud crash. I ran down the hall into the room, Peter's room, and I couldn't believe what I saw. There was the shelf that I put up, 3.5 hours worth of work, on the floor with the Tonka trucks all around. And sitting on the shelf that's on the floor was my daughter, Jesse, with half the wall pulled out round about her. See, Jessie, such a sweetie, at that time, when she was little, she was really chunky. Think of the Campbell Soups girl 10 times bigger. She had just rolls and chubby, and she had her own zip code, actually. She was a big little toddler, you see. And somehow, my 1.5-year-old little planet, somehow... And I'm still questioning Peter to this day because he was in the room with her, but I don't know, he won't say. Somehow Jesse got on top of the shelf, and she sat there with the trucks. Of course it couldn't hold her. Nothing would. So down it came, you see. And I storm in the room, and I can't believe what I see. Jesse Lee on top of the shelf, the wall pulled off. And I say, Jesse, what are you doing? And she looks up at me, and her cheeks shake, and the tears run down, and her chin quivers. Jesse, how could you do this? And I look over to the corner, and there's Peter John. He's 3, standing there in the corner. He has his hands on his hips like this. And he's looking at me, shaking his head. And I said, PJ, what's your problem? And he just looked and shook his head and said, Daddy, Jesus is going to have to spank you. How true. Out of the mouth of babes, you see. See, I was upset. I was chucking spears. I was angry. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. But here's the thing. Here's what you need to know about Saul's syndrome, about this affliction that can come to you, that can happen to me. Here's what you need to remember, what you need to know, and be aware of. Hey, the problem wasn't Jesse or even PJ. The problem was me. We think that when we're irritated, frustrated, bumped, squeezed, that that's the reason that we feel hostility and anger to whatever degree. Listen carefully. The irritation, the frustration, the bump, the squeeze does not produce in you hostility or bitterness or anger. It only reveals what's already there. For example, when I go home, if I go to my kitchen sink, there's a sponge in the sink. I can see that it's moist. I can see that it's wet. But I'm not sure what's in it. Perhaps it's sour milk. Maybe it's apple juice. Could be water. Maybe vinegar. Who knows? The only way I will know what's in it is if I take it and squeeze it. As I squeeze the sponge, what's already in there comes dripping out. What's already in it comes flowing out. The squeeze didn't put the vinegar or the sour milk or the apple juice or whatever it might be. The squeeze just reveals what's already there, you see. And when you're squeezed, when I'm bumped, when we feel as though, hey, we're under the gun or feeling pressure on a given day, the way that I respond, the way that you react, will reveal what's already in your soul, what's already going on. You see, Saul was already in this state of insanity, bizarrety, and confusion before the story that we just read, where Jonathan let him know that David wouldn't be at the table that day. Saul, listen, he already threw spears 3 times previously. He chucked spears at David once, twice, thrice. He's already been chucking spears. He's already been throwing spears, you see. It's already within him. It wasn't Jonathan's problem. And the person that I lash out at, the person I'm upset with, the person I'm angry at, it's not really their problem. It's me. Jonathan wasn't the problem. The spear that came his way, hey, Saul was already throwing spears at David. So was David the problem? No. David wasn't the problem. Because there when we read about Saul chucking spears at David in chapter 18, verse 10, and in chapter 19, verse 10, it says an evil spirit was upon Saul. Saul was plagued by an evil spirit. And in this fit of rage, in this insanity, in this bizarre expression of anger, he throws a spear at David, you see. Once, twice, a third time. Not Jonathan's fault, not David's fault, and listen, not even the evil spirit's fault. Because why did he have the evil spirit afflict him? Earlier in the story of Saul, it's because Saul was a man of rebellion and disobedience. He didn't do what the Lord told him to. He stiffened his neck. He hardened his heart. He wouldn't be obedient to the voice of the Lord. Because he was disobedient, he hardened his heart. He stiffened his neck. He then became vulnerable to an evil spirit plaguing him, which caused him then to throw spears at David, a good man, and to go further to lash out and seek to kill Jonathan, the one that he wanted to ascend to the throne to take over the kingdom. But it's not Jonathan's fault. It's not David's fault. It's not even the evil spirit's fault. It's Saul's fault. It's all about Saul. And so too with you. So too with me. If we don't understand this, what's going to happen is we will lash out at him, her, them, our boss, our neighbor, a sister, a brother. And we'll never understand that the real issue is within you. It's in me. And it will get closer and closer and closer to the people that we love until finally you're lashing out at your spouse, your wife, your husband. You're frustrated with her. You're angry at him. Well, I've got a point to make. And I think I'm on target. Wham! You see? And we're chucking spears. Because we fail to see it's not my wife. It's not my husband. It's not my little brother. It's not my son or my daughter. It's me. The problem is disobedience and rebellion in me. That's the whole deal, you see. It's me. It's me. Now, God lets us know when we are being afflicted by this Saul syndrome. You have warning signs like I did a couple of days ago. I'm driving in my 1974 Volkswagen Bug. And I like that car, but it's getting old. And when things get old, they fall apart. You know about that. And so I'm driving down the road, and the glove box door just flips open. Now, my glove box is packed full of stuff, junk, whatever. Flips open. So I shut it. And I go about 20, 30 more seconds and hit a little bump, and it flips open again. I shut it once more. About a minute later, once more, it flips open, and I then stop, and I look, and I see that the little dealy bobber, the little latch that secures the door, has been worn down. It's worn off over the years. It's just worn out. I get back in my car, and I drive some more. Flops open again. I shut it. It flops open again. I shut it again. It flops open yet once more, and boom, I start slamming that thing about every 10 seconds, you know, banging away at my glove box door. You know, stay shut. I know it can't stay shut. What am I doing? What am I thinking? I'm slamming this door, you know, I'm boom, boom, boom. And then it gets worse. When I get to the place where I was going, see, I find myself in a conversation with somebody very close to me. And I talked to him, and I talked with him. And I found myself, when he was asking certain things, we were talking about certain issues, I found myself feeling irritated. And so I fired away, oh, in a quiet voice, mind you. But it was deadly. I was making my points. I was right on target. Things needed to be straightened out. I have the right, you see. I have the right to say this. I'm on target about that. This is a point that needs to be made. And I fired away, and I fired away. When I was done, I knew something was really wrong. Got back in my car again, talked it over with the Lord like we do. And you know, I realized right then that the Lord was showing me on the way to the meeting that something was wrong in my soul. Because when the glove box door flopped open, here I am, banging away. But because I didn't deal with it there, I didn't resolve it then, I make my point brutally. I fire a spear cruelly at someone that I care about deeply.
Have you ever done that? Well, we probably all have at one time or another. But now God is showing us something. God is wanting to mature us and show us just what is happening in our heart. This is important stuff, and John still has more to share with us about this issue. Please join us next time as Pastor John concludes this teaching and we learn more about Saul's syndrome. We'll see you then. This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
We are all on a journey in this life. If you are a believer in God, your journey is taking you to heaven. To help us keep our eyes on our destination, we have a book available called A Place for You, Reflections on Heaven. This book, taken from sermons that John has given, focuses on the hope of heaven. Heaven is a real place, and it is not that far away. This book is for everyone who longs for that day when we will be in heaven with our Savior. You may order a place for you from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is an independent ministry that is not financially supported by any church or organization. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.